And when you see developers in Toronto putting a halt on developments, that's really just going to push those individuals that are migrating to Ontario, to the next largest city, which outside of the GTA and the Golden Horseshoe is Ottawa. So, you know, I think as that continues, if developers still kind of put their feet in the sand for the time being, that we're only going to see our population kind of continue to escalate at a rapid pace.
You're listening to the Ottawa Real Estate Podcast with your hosts, Paul Stevenson, David Warren, and Greg Campbell. Let's see what's going on in the world of real estate today.
Hello, and welcome back to the Ottawa Real Estate Podcast. We're here. It's the day of labor.
The way you say that is just amazing.
It's the day of labor. It's Labor Day. We're off. We're here. We're here, but we're off. And we're on. My name is Paul Stevenson. I'm a mortgage agent. And I'm a host here with my lovely colleagues, David Warren and Greg Campbell, Gregory Campbell.
Yes, yes.
And how are we doing, gentlemen?
Wow.
It's a somber Monday.
I was going to say, that was the most somber.
The holiday like, Monday.
There was no...
I'm looking forward to the sun.
We need to use the ChatGPT intros again. Those were great.
Yeah.
Let's get those back. Wow. Yeesh. Fired. Donald Trump on here.
Not fired, just join with AI.
That's true.
It just helps you deliver.
Yeah. I could do it off the cuff. I just feel like when it's actually me saying it, it sounds more corny than just reading it from ChatGPT, believe it or not. Just,
yeah. Couple guys talking about real estate. That's what we are.
Oh boy.
Oh yeah. Labor Day.
We're September and we can no longer use August and July as an excuse for the shitty housing market. So let's see how this month goes. We got rate announcement on Wednesday. We got everyone back to school tomorrow. Some people back to school last week, French school board. And how are we thinking that's gonna impact the market? What's gonna happen the next 30 days, gentlemen? Go.
I'm still, you know, not, I think bullish is the wrong word, but I think it will certainly pick up steam. We can't really be slower than this past August. So it's going to be better than August. I'll tell you that. I think, you know, there's a lot of articles out, about the contraction of GDP. And where the economy kind of stalling, that was Friday, those reports coming out from Stats Canada. So really everyone's expecting the Bank of Canada to give us a pause on Wednesday on any rate changes, which I think, you know, which is what we've been saying as well, past couple of weeks. And I think it's going to kind of help to leapfrog us.
Yeah, I agree that
what,
it's going
what
to
he
get-
said.
What he said. I've been from personal experience, I've been getting more calls, I've been seeing more homes, and you know that to me, I'm clearly, as I say many times on the show, I'm obviously not the only one that's getting the calls and out, you know, having appointments. I had a very slow summer, which was actually not bad. But now things are picking up, and it's, you know, like I said, I was out seeing properties all weekend and, you know, letting my guys know, kind of saying, if you see something that you really like, just don't wait for it, because, you know, starting in the next couple of weeks, there's probably going to be double the amount of buyers out. Well, maybe not double, but I think there's going to be more coming to market. But at the same time, there's also going to be a lot more listings. I think we're going to see more listings than we've seen in a long time. This September, I think it's going to be saturated for sure. So the buyers, you know, going from sellers to balance to buyers market could happen quickly. Although we know homes on average are still only taking 30 days to sell, which kind of leaves it in a seller's market at the edge of a balance market. So we'll see. But regardless, there's going to be a lot more to see. What's that?
The big question to tell if it's a buyer's or seller's market in my mind is, if you're buying a home, a new home, are you listing or are you buying first?
Yeah.
Because I had a situation last week. I won't say too many specifics, but basically a realtor that wasn't Greg suggested someone buy a home within a 6-week closing. and hadn't listed their home yet.
Whew.
So that's what we're dealing with now. Some very quick closes, some very quick sales needed, and some creative solutions also needed. But I think that question you were saying, Greg, I think it's really going to depend on if we see a lot of people buying first, then we're going to see, an aggressive seller's market. We're going to see prices go up really quickly. Then they'll probably balance out as people start listing and kind of balance out to the end of the year. Or we're going to see more homes come on the market first. As you said, market get maybe a bit saturated, and it could even stagnate things a bit further when people are then, there's too many properties and kind of analysis paralysis, and nobody's pulling the trigger. So I think it could go one, it could go either way. Like, it's either going to be, like you said, it's going to be a lot of properties coming out, people saying, okay, as soon as we get an offer, we'll start pulling the trigger, or people are going to pull the trigger and then have to sell really aggressively. And, you know, and we may see not a lot of homes available in the market again.
And I'd like to make a point that, you know, historically on the show, we say that the nice ones are selling quickly. Well, I saw 15 really nice homes this weekend. They were all like, for what they were, each individual home was like perfect. You know, move-in ready, basically nothing to do other than, you know, maybe some taste, personal tastes. But I was shocked, to be honest. I was seeing that every home that we walked into, I was like, wow, man, this is like a really, really well done home, ready to go for somebody.
And what was the price range that you were looking at?
We were at just around low sevens to 900. So, and this was in Orleans and Rockland. So we saw a lot of different homes, different styles of property, but yeah, man, like everything was just well done. Like every place I walked in, I'm like, this is priced accurately and it's very nice. Like, you know, you could just see someone moving in and being like, this is exactly what I want. It's perfect. Just needs the right buyer. But to be able to go and see that many homes like that was kind of, I mean, it was exciting for the buyers, and it was rare for me to see that. I hadn't seen that in a while.
If you had to guess, what's the average days on market for those? Because we've always said, right,
there's 30 days is still the average.
Okay.
That hasn't really changed. Like, I mean, there was that one time, I think it was it the end of last year or the early spring, was like 45 it got to. And then it's kind of just hovered around the 30 days for the last like 6 months. So they're still like, they're still selling on average in 30 days.
Yeah.
But if they keep coming out, that'll slow down. Because like, even with my guys, like, we saw them all and they were all nice. We found two that we really liked, but they're just kind of like, you know, they're not sure.
Yeah. Well, when it gets that to that point, I feel like you can be ultra particular. Like, you're looking at 15 homes, you really like two, but it doesn't have that countertop.
Yeah.
Like you can be really, you can really sharpen that sword of,
and
like,
that's the thing, man, like you're saying, if they should definitely be listing before they buy, because there's enough out there, you know? And who knows how quick it's going to sell. I mean, we'll see what September brings, but as of right now, there's a lot of opportunities.
Like someone giving a seller a suggestion of 6 weeks, like buying and 6 weeks to sell is just preposterous. Like, even in when the market was busy, you know, 2020, 21, you know, early 22, 6 weeks was still like to assume that you're going to, yes, you were good selling your house in like a week or 2 weeks, but kind of that assumption that being there is a little,
yeah. And I wasn't there for the conversation. Yeah. So I shouldn't jump to conclusions.
You're in the aftermath.
This is the one side of the story I'm receiving. So it could have, you know, it could have been discussed differently. Maybe there's some oversight, but the worst part is that the purchase was with no conditions. So it was just kind of like, we got to win this, you know, and then we'll figure it out later, it out tomorrow. So yeah, I mean, there's going to be solutions. It's just, you know, it's a really shitty position for anyone to be in a market. But when you're, you know, buying and selling a home is stressful enough, as we all know, for clients and even for ourselves when we go through it, adding that sort of stuff onto the mix, like short time frames and, you know, like we said, no conditions, like that just pours gas on the fire, right?
Yeah.
So, right, gentlemen.
Yeah, that is correct. What were you seeing, Greg? From I guess it's too early for the stats in for August.
Stats will be out. I mean, the stats will be out tomorrow, I think. So we'll have them on the show for next week. But I think, I mean, from what I can tell, that was like the slowest August in years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, least amount of sales, least amount of activity. But
you think it's 600, 700 transactions?
Yeah, I think maybe a little over 700. Okay. Might even be closer to 8, but just slow. Oh, my children are yelling in the background.
Oh, so, I mean, to that, I mean, really, you know, I touched on it of the stats from like Stats Canada releasing the numbers for the quarter, for the second quarter on Friday, which is obviously important information for, you know, what the Bank of Canada is going to decide. But in that, you know, there's there were in the CTV article, you know, kind of talking about that there was a decline in the second quarter, came as housing investment fell by 2.1% to post its fifth consecutive quarterly decrease. New housing construction dropped 8.2% in the quarter, and renovation spending fell 4.3%. And that's Q2 of the year. You know, obviously that's not, you know, the stat's too early for Q3 to come out, but you know, obviously that's going to only, you know, that's only going to decrease and be a sixth consecutive decrease, I would imagine, in Q3, being how slow this summer's been. New construction, you know, we've seen and we talked about in the previous weeks of developers in major cities like Toronto, you know, stopping developments. So new housing, I'm expecting to fall right off in Q3. And renovation spending, I've spoken to a number of contractors, whether it be masonry companies or general contractors, what have you, that they're not busy. Like they're available at a moment's notice. I'm helping my parents renovate their house, and I've been able to get in like painters, stucco guys, you know, landscapers, asphalt, like all within countertops from a granite company, all within two week lead, either the following week of getting them in, or, you know, and even for like asphalt being laid, like that being put in 2 weeks after paying that deposit, as opposed to during kind of the last couple of years, you call for any of that stuff, you're waiting months or even a year to get anything in like that. I was getting people coming in like multiple quotes, 3 to 4 quotes per job, and able to even like negotiate prices down on that, which to me, again, I touched on it last week, like that's very anecdotal about like my, like what I experienced just in the auto market just recently when it comes to renovation. But, you know, that's pretty telling when, you know, I think when I can get in 4 people to quote on paint, 4, you know, 3 people to quote on stucco, 5 or 6 asphalt companies, and was able to talk them down by like 30% on their pricing, you know, in some cases, like, so, and get in that quickly. So, you know, obviously this summer has been extremely slow, I think, for all those. So I think we'll see that Q3 numbers kind of continue where, you know, those Q2 numbers are saying for like sure that the GDP contracted more than expected, and all these markets or these areas contracting more than expected. I think Q3 will be the same, which leads me to believe that when that comes out, it'll be close to that that October announcement. And we'll probably see, because of that, a hold again on the October
drop, rate drop. If there's, Dave called it.
I'm not saying a rate drop. I'm saying hold through the rest October. Of the year. I'm saying hold through the rest of the year. Kind of like we're talking about the, you know, the market in general being so slow through the summer. You know, this is Q2 numbers where housing prices up until, you know, up until the end of May were had picked up. They were year-over-year gains on the housing prices, and it was still relatively busy, but this summer has been very stagnated. So I think that for those out there that have variable rate mortgages or anything like that, or deciding whether to get in the market or not, I think you'll see it hold through the rest of the year because there will be continued contraction and, you know, and that it will lead into, which is a positive if you're on variable side of rate reductions starting in Q1 or Q2 of 2024.
Yeah, and we did. That's a great summary. We also saw the fixed rates, like the 5-year government bond rate, is back to where it was pretty much beginning of August. So we saw like that huge rise was over 4%, and fixed rates were climbing, and, you know, mid fives. It's now back at 3.83. So it's back to where it was before all the kind of wildness over the last month. So we'll see. It's still higher from where it was, you know, 3 months ago, June-ish, but it seems to be back on at least a current decline. So we'll see, you know, rates, fixed rates probably will hold at least for the next week or two. Some lenders we saw obviously raise rates, like some fixed rates are sitting in the high fives now for 5-year fixed. 5.74 in some cases for an insured mortgage, which, you know, at least in our time is extremely high in our time mm-hmm. in the market for over the last decade. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, as we said, there's still a kind of a common misconception between the Bank of Canada rate announcement and actual, you know, fixed rates as well. So it'll be interesting to see this week how the pendulum moves or swings on both sides of the rate discussion, you know, with
fixed are all of the A lenders still using the stress test?
Yes. Yeah.
And what's that rate now?
It's the rate that the borrower is getting plus 2%.
Plus 2%, right?
Yeah. So, you know, by and large, I think, you know, a lot on the insured side, so less than 20% down. They're, like Paul said, they're hovering in that 5.5, like 5.59, 5.5 to like 5.79, 5.74 kind of range, depending on your institution. And they're using that rate plus 2%, let's say, so as an example of what 7.5.
Everyone's
correct. Yeah. I also, and in some cases over like 8 or even close to 9, right, if you're
depending
conventional.
On what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's kind of what Darren was saying too. Is that, you know, people qualifying at 9%, like on the A side, you're qualifying at 8, you know, so it's like whether you're going private or A, like you're almost qualifying at a similar rate. The other thing I was going to say made me think of this when you mentioned that, Dave, is there was a point, Greg, with the stress test where when rates were below 5.25, where if you were going variable, you only had to qualify at the stress test rate of 5.25. You didn't have to add that 2%. It was only on fixed rates you had to add that 2%. I don't know how, maybe lasted a year, Dave, 6 months, a year. Like it was in the beginning of the stress test.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people probably went variable during that time because they qualified for more. And now we're seeing a lot of those, you know, we were saying 95%, I think in June took fixed. I think there was a point where there's probably 60, 70% of people taking variable because of that higher qualifying amount. This is probably 2019, maybe 18. It was a while mm-hmm. ago. But all those people are now coming up for renewal. And those are the people basically that probably qualified under. And again, I'm thinking, I thought of this as you said it. So this isn't like, you mm-hmm. know, I don't have any statistics on this. I don't know exactly what the numbers were, but there was a point where going variable allowed you to qualify for higher than you mm-hmm. could have if you went fixed. And I think a lot of those people probably got into those homes, rates went up, and now they, you know, they're outside of their means essentially with the property they're in.
Yeah, the fixed rates were in 2019, like mid to high threes on a 5-year fixed in 2018, 2019. So people were qualifying at high fives, mid and high fives, whereas variable was significantly lower. And so you're able to qualify at 5.25. All right. I think actually back then it was like 4.74 or something like that, because they do readjust that qualifying rate. But yeah, I mean, certainly there'll be it'll be interesting to see, you know, as more people keep coming up for renewal. But, you know, we have seen it that the banks had their quarterly results out this past week as well. And we really did see, you know, kind of a lot of higher loan loss provisions, which means, you know, banks setting aside a large sum of money under the assumption of default. So if there are losses on their books of, you know, that they have the cash set aside for it. So a lot of them, I think TD was like 850 million or 800 million or something like that, that they have set aside as, you know, it's not saying that they have any, their default rates haven't changed. They're still extremely, you know, basically zero, but they still have to set aside a certain provision in case of default. But what they did, what was interesting is a number of the institutions were kind of looking at how many of their mortgages are over or longer than 30 years and 35 years, meaning because people are on a static variable rate mortgage, that their payments aren't covering any principal. They're actually in the negative. And so they're reversing their amortization as in adding years to their mortgage because the people haven't voluntarily increased their payment or made any lump sum payments, which will be interesting to see kind of how that plays out. TD and RBC were pretty well the same of 23% of their mortgages being over that 35-year mark, CIBC being 25%, and the highest being BMO at 30%. Scotia and National Bank, their mortgages are at zero for over 35 years because their variable rate mortgages increase whenever prime does. So they're an adjustable rate mortgage. So that'll be interesting to see as time goes on. And like you said, Paul, as people kind of come up for renewal of, you know, those people that are over 35 years, the day of reckoning is coming when they come up for maturity, that they're going to have to, they've been in a static payment they haven't done anything with, and the bank has let them just reverse their amortization. But when they come up for renewal in the next year or so, you know, depending on where rates are at, they're going to have to renew at like that drastically higher payment, which will be interesting to see because they're not going to be able to do 35 years. They're going to have to come back down to 30 years, plus their rate is going to be that much higher from what they were.
Great. I was muted. I was going to say, or sell. Like, there's probably going to be a portion of those people that just can't, like I said, they're just outside their means and they will have to list, right? Even if it's, let's say 25%, 30%, there's going to be a percentage of those people that just have no option, are going to be kind of blindsided by that and may have to list. And that could also, as you were saying, Greg, like they could push, well, you didn't say that, but it could also, as you said, push more homes onto the market, which, yeah, it'd be interesting. Now, we've been saying the last 6 months of the year will be interesting. Let's extend it to 12 months and see all these changes.
I know that, you know, that TD for sure, and I'm sure the others have as well, but TD has had a very aggressive plan in place where they've been reaching out to people, static mortgage, like the static variable payments of like, hey, you need to talk to somebody. This is where you're at. You need to increase your payment to X or convert to a fixed rate or make a lump sum. And they constantly are following up and even phone calls, letters in the mail, emails. And they did in their results this past quarter did say that that number has reduced as far as how many are over that extended amortization. But there wasn't the same sentiment from the other ones. So I'm interested to see if they are starting to push as well to get people under, because as you get those longer, those reverse amortizations, to your point, Paul, like as they come up for renewal, like right now it's kind of ignorance is bliss of like, yeah, screw it. Let's just, you know, let it reverse. But then going and, you know, inflate, things have gone up in cost. Maybe their wages haven't gone up as much. And now they're really having to renew their mortgage, and it's going to double or triple because they're having to shrink their amortization by anywhere from 5 years to 7 years shorter from where they're at currently, plus the rate kind of triple or maybe even quadruple, depending on where they locked in their variable.
There's one thing I have learned in the last couple of weeks is that loyalty from your bank is basically non-existent. I have two clients who, one was with Scotia, one was with TD, both for almost 20 years. And one person had four mortgages with one of those lenders. And when it came time to renew and they didn't qualify due to a self-employment thing, they only offered them a mortgage of $100,000. So he went to a B lender. He was pissed. Like, just like, you know, I've done four mortgages with you guys. I've been loyal for 20 years. And then now, like, just nothing. No love.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean,
bottom lines, I guess, right?
Yeah. The unfortunate, like, I mean, really, it comes down to people believe, and this is why we, Paul and I, kind of talk about the benefits of a mortgage agent, is because, you know, a lot of people grow up going to the same bank. You know, maybe they got started with that bank when they were a kid with their checking account passport that they used to, at least I used to. You go in and get it stamped and all that. And you end up using that same bank throughout because that's the one that your parents used or whatever. And and people think that because you've been at the same institution for 20, 30 years, that you're going to get absolute best rate. You're going to get best deals, fees off, you know, all of that. And they really care about you. But it's not how what used to be, where it was a branch manager that you knew and go in and chat with them and have a coffee and they listen to your story and just approve you because they like the smile on your face. It's now all based on what do you qualify for? You know, really there are so many checks and balances that the government's put in, and really it's just, you know, it's an institution. Like it is cold in that respect. There's no, like, it doesn't matter about your loyalty. You're not even getting necessarily the best rate. It's actually complete opposite. When you come up for renewal, they'll actually issue a lot of times like a crappy rate on offer on renewal, because they know that such a high percentage of people will just sign the paperwork that they get offered that renewal and not actually try and shop it, talk it down, or negotiate it. Yeah. They'll just sign it. And so they take advantage of that loyalty, and they know full well that it's there. It's unfortunate, but that's where the where you really, when you're shopping for your first mortgage, you're up for renewal, you're thinking about refinancing, like speak to a mortgage agent so that you can actually look at the plethora of banks out there, and ones that you can't even walk into. Like Paul and I have access to a dozen banks or dozens of banks that you can't access individually. They're only accessible through a mortgage agent. You know, whether that be on the A space, like a prime lender, or the alternative space or private, anything like that. These aren't lenders that you can just walk into or contact to get a mortgage from. So it's imperative to really shop it, because yeah, your bank doesn't really, they don't have any loyalty to you or really care.
Scotiabank's gonna have to change their slogan soon, I think. Hey, you're richer than you think. I don't know. They've been holding on to that one, but it's a tough economy to be using that as your slogan.
You're poorer than you think.
Yeah.
I'm gonna throw out a quick stat here before I forget. Just this is just an Orleans update on detached in town. So the average price of a detached home right now is $786,000. That's sold in the last 4 weeks, averaging 32 days on market. And for towns, it's $591,000, averaging 27 days on market. So in terms of like a Barrhaven in Kanata, you're probably going to add about 50,000 to that, give or take, for the same type of property. But yeah, like that's, you know, you think about prior to this, you know, you're down like almost 150,000 in some cases. Yeah. I was talking to somebody that bought at the peak he paid 731 in Orleans. And, you know, he reached out, he's like, well, what do you think? And this and that. And I'm like, well, you're worth about, oh, no, I think you paid 750 for a town. And I'm like, well, you're at about 650 now. So you paid 100,000 more than what it's worth now. And he's like, when do you think that'll be 750 again? I said, I don't know if it'll ever be worth 750 again. And if it is, it's not going to be for at least another, you know, 5 years or more. So he was kind of like, you know, he knows there's nothing he can do about it.
Well,
he's going to stay, build his equity, and that's what it is.
It reminds me, Greg, of comments that you made like ages ago during the pandemic when people were offering 100,000 over ask, you know, regularly or over list rather, and places, you know, going for crazy amounts where you even said on the show that, and again, this is where I wish we could, you know, maybe AI kind of set timestamp, but yeah, where you were saying that people, you know, they're paying and they're offering what the house is going to be worth in 5 years. They're paying it now, like they're offering on it now, but that's really what it's going to be worth in 5 years, which is kind of interesting that it's, you know, maybe a year and a half later that's, you know, kind of coming to fruition that because of the dip, and then it's going to take a while for it.
Yeah. The old 5 year housing bond. Hey, just buy now and five years, you cash it in.
Yeah.
Dave, you had an article too regarding the Ontario housing minister.
Yeah, really short.
News out of hot off the press.
Yeah, we haven't touched on it too much or at all, really. The debacle with the provincial government and the Greenbelt land swap in the GTA. But there was a lot around that where it was favoring a number of developers, and then there was, you know, some that got their land kind of pulled out of that greenbelt and immediately put it up for sale, which the government kind of pulled it right back and said not happening. But they, you know, really it's been a lot, like a big mess over the last, you know, few weeks. And and finally today he was holding on to his job for dear life, but the housing minister David Clark finally resigned today, or Steve Clark rather, resigned today, saying, you know, this should be, you know, it's about building houses and I don't want to be a distraction. But they've been calling for his resignation for over a week since the, you know, there's a number of reports that came out from the ethics committee, et cetera, and the auditor general, saying that, that they favored, that lack transparency and favored certain developers. And so, you know, I think it's a good thing that that he was pulled from that. But, you know, they really are pushing of building that 1.5 million homes over 10 years. And that's, you know, the overarching idea around that, kind of breaking off some land in the Greenbelt there, was for pushing development where they need those houses. But one thing that I thought was interesting is I heard a radio ad. Yes, I listened to the radio. I'm old. The provincial government has been running an ad. And obviously, you know, it's catered around this issue that's going on right now, but there's been over the last year 500,000. The population has grown in Ontario by 500,000 in the last year. So I know I have no sources to back this up. I can't quote a StatsCan or anything like that, but I will preface this by saying that, you know, really, if the provincial government's putting this on the radio as a regular ad about pushing the need for housing, that the stat is probably pretty damn accurate, and you're probably going to be able to source it from somewhere or Google it really quickly to source it. But let's just say it's 400,000 instead that have come to Ontario in the last year. Like we've talked about ad nauseum, the growth in population in Canada of PRs. And last episode, we were talking about the student visas. Mm-hmm. Having been close to 1 million, and that number being, significantly higher than the federal government had known, that the 500,000 though coming to Ontario in the last year, that's huge.
Like, and nowhere to live.
Yeah.
Because all we do is talk about things in Canada. We just don't do them.
Yeah. So I think it'll be interesting to see how this Greenbelt thing plant. You know, a lot of that population in Ontario comes to Toronto and Ottawa. You know, we are seeing our population grow significantly. We do need to build, and so does Toronto. And when you see developers in Toronto putting a halt on developments, that's really just going to push those individuals that are migrating to Ontario, to the next largest city, which outside of the GTA and the Golden Horseshoe is Ottawa. You know, I think as that continues, if developers still kind of put their feet in the sand for the time being, that we're only going to see our population kind of continue to escalate at a rapid pace.
I do think it's fair to mention, I was talking to somebody about this the other day, and we haven't spoken about it in a while, but, you know, Ottawa is still a safer bet, I believe, than a lot of the other cities, just because of the stability that we have here. And I think that's going to maintain. So regardless of where the prices are going up and down and everything, buying and selling, I think it's a pretty safe bet in Ottawa as opposed to the other big cities in Canada anyways. It's a safer investment overall, I think, as based on what you just said, more people will be coming to Ottawa for sure. There's no question about it.
There's not as much of a foreign investment standpoint either. You know, we don't have as much, and it is growing though, but foreign money, if you will, isn't in Ottawa as much. There still is. Absolutely. But we don't have the same level, which is what Toronto's seeing right now, that housing kind of, you know, not bubble, but they did have a much bigger drop in pricing and value than Ottawa sustained. But we do have a very stable market from, you know, we've talked about it, high tech and government and federal, provincial, municipal government, and then high tech. You know, we've got a lot going on within the city, so we'll continue to see that interest rise. Sure. And maybe once we get a functioning transit system, but time will tell. If they actually crack that nut, then it'll help. Ottawa's gonna boom, but.
It's getting close to completion out here, like out in the East End. I'm loving it, man. It's like just been watching it grow every day over the last couple of years, and it's pretty spectacular. I can't wait.
It is really cool to see, because I don't go out, I don't take the drive to the East End, you know, all that often. But it's kind of, so I see it in like larger increments of being built and developed, which is really cool to see that happening. But you know, laying the track is one thing, but as we've seen for the LRT that's been running for 4 years, getting it to actually function properly is a whole other story.
But, stations look beautiful.
Yeah.
Stations look beautiful.
We just have the architecture art pieces.
A+ on architecture and design.
Yeah.
Functionality. Hey.
Lots of glass. Those window washers are making a killing off those stations for sure.
Yeah, I'll never forget the banner when you passed Blair Road on the highway. It used to say, "We're on track 2018, right across the
and it was like 2020.
think they meant 3018. Maybe it was a typo.
Oh boy. On that note, should we slide into some mood boosts?
Yeah, why not? End on a positive note here. Okay, I got three today. I think last week I went five. So these are a little, they're less, but more hard hitting. Okay. So here we go. Number one, I was driving into work and robbers jumped into my car and stole everything. They were pirates of the Caribbean.
Okay.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
The Caribbean.
Number two, my wife complains I don't buy her flowers. To be honest, I didn't even know she sold flowers. Buying other ones. Number three, last but not least, how did the carpenter find her spouse? Used a stud finder.
Yeah.
Speaking of trades.
Speaking of trades. I like that first one.
Mm-hmm.
Greg, you said we got a guest coming next week, or is it 2 weeks from now?
It's in 2 weeks, actually.
Okay. I won't even mention it.
Yes.
Too late.
We have Christina Clavero from the agency in Southern Ontario, Burlington, around that area.
From where?
Burlington, Toronto. I think she works out of like a couple of, she covers a lot of ground out there. Anyways.
Oh, I meant the agency.
That's the agency. Yeah. She's from the agency. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, she's great. Very knowledgeable about the market. We've done some business back and forth. And yeah, she's, I think she's going to be a nice, nice addition to the show.
Me too. Yeah. I think so too. We should mention for anyone who is still listening after all this babbling, we had a record download in August. So again, that's our best 2 months of downloads of the show are August last year and August this year. So
screwed.
People aren't transacting, but they're listening, you know, they want to know what's going on in the market. And then, as we all know, we control the whole market, hey, with our greed, as you mentioned, Greg. So now that we've said it, it's just going to come to fruition here in September. Market's going to explode.
Abundance.
Bye. Abundance. Bye. All right. We'll be back next week, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure to like, subscribe, share, review. We're on YouTube, every streaming platform you could think of. And, you know, we'll be back next week. Oh, thanks for tuning in.
Hold on. I want to mention one thing.
Oh, wow.
Right at the 11th hour.
Wow. Next week, you'll be able to get my first time homebuyer ebook on a link on the site or on the YouTube channel. So be ready for that if you're a first timer.
If you're still listening.
If you're still listening. No one's here anymore.
Small fraction.
I'm an idiot.
All right. Bye, Steven.
Get me out of here.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please remember to like, share, comment, and subscribe, because we'd really like that.